You guys, everybody see that? What I'm trying to get out there? See, and that's what was in this thing. That's what this is all coming from Calvin. I'm not trying to be a dead horse, but I'm just telling you, this is all coming from John Calvin's doctrine. All this stuff that's wrong, all this confusion of the law and grace, and law and the gospel and grace and works. It's all coming from a misunderstanding of what works is. What works is in the New Testament. Okay, the relation between law and grace has always been confused in Israel. Even from the very beginning of the church age. You know, even at the very beginning, the church was plagued by both antinomianism and legalism. Okay? The Gentiles were deceived by antinomianism. The Jews were caught up in legalism. Okay? And both these things were operating in the church, and they both operate when people don't understand the relationship between the Old and New Covenants, between law and grace, between works and grace. Okay? The Jews were caught up in legalism, so Paul had to keep reminding them that they were saved by, justified by works. They were not justified by works. You know, they weren't justified by obeying the law. They're justified through the atonement of Jesus. But the Gentiles, of course, never under the law. And they didn't understand the arguments Paul were using against his fellow Jews. So they took what he said, misinterpreted it, and turned it into antinomianism. That, you know, your position in Christ of being justified once you're first saved is enough. It doesn't matter what, if you ever become holy, in fact, indeed, in life, it doesn't matter. You know, so men have been fighting for centuries over this definition of works. You know, what's works? Since the law of Moses was the predominant force in the early church, works was defined within that framework of the law. You know, the Jewish legalists, whom Paul was, you know, said that obedience to the Torah, the law, was the evidence of true faith. You know, so the big question back then was facing Jewish believers was what portion of the law had to be kept in order to remain a Christian. You know. Of course, the Jewish legalists, the old Jewish legalists said that all of it had to be obeyed. The Gentile antinomians said none of it had to be obeyed. Okay, so that's what it was at the very beginning. From the very beginning, just think about what is works, what is bad works, what is good works, what is grace, what is law. Now today, that's what I said. Now since John Calvin up until today, the issue is no longer obedience to the law of Moses. Now the issue is just obedience at all. Is it just obedience at all? Or do you have to obey anything at all? Okay, hang on. Sorry, Sissy, I didn't see you. Sissy wants to say something. Go ahead, Sissy.
Hi, everybody. Hope everybody can hear me. Brother Dan, thanks a lot for this teaching this evening. Having come from a Pentecostal background where there was quite a bit of legalism growing up and all of that, I don't mind telling you the confusion that ensued after I came to know the Lord. Actually, up until not too long ago, really, where all of this, I know the Holy Spirit is so wonderful because he began to kind of just separate all this stuff out for me, and through Brother Steve, and now through you, and through other brothers and sisters in Christ, I've been able to understand, and I'm starting to understand even further, because my desire is to please the Lord, and he sees our hearts, and he is so patient and so gracious. I can't begin to thank you. Keep saying what you're saying. I'm listening, and I know there are more of us out there that need to hear more of this, and I praise the Lord for you guys. Thank
you. Well, thank you. Thanks a lot. Somebody appreciates the effort. You never know how people are taking things because it is a confusing mess, and you got to use your brain, you know, to straighten it out. Rich said he read Ephesians 2:10. Am I on? Okay. I'm sorry about this. It's probably my dish. It's a little cloudy out here, and you have a dish internet. It's called latency. From the time the signal gets up to the satellite up in space and then back down to where all your systems, it's called latency, lag time. So, and sometimes it just it goes wacky. I read that. I don't know if you heard me, but I did read that. I put up and read it for you, Rich. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared for beforehand that we should walk in them. That's right. That's what being saved by grace means. If you're saved by grace, That's what's going to happen. You're going to walk in the things Jesus created for you to walk in. It's going to work out in deeds. Okay. Where was I? I got lost here. Today, since Calvin, the issue is not just obedience to law. The issue is obedience to anything. Is obedience to anything, including Jesus himself, mandatory in order to remain a Christian? Okay. The belief that a person must obey something, anything, in order to remain a Christian, to remain in Christ after they're saved, is a concept that modern antinomianism just they militantly reject it. They don't want anything to do with it. It's all false gospel then. You know? And it's because they're deducing wrong things. They're deducing that if a person can do something to ruin his salvation after coming to Jesus, truly based on unmerited grace, it was based on the works or the effort of the individual, at least partially. So if sinful behavior can annul our redemption, if disobedience can get us cut out of the vine, then our salvation was not an unmerited gift. Okay? It's a reward for our performance. So the questions we put to people are, can a person accept Jesus as his personal Savior, but refuse him as his personal Lord and still be saved? Can we believe in Jesus and accept his atonement, yet refuse to obey him faithfully and remain eternally secure? Can a person say he's a believer, yet continue in sin the rest of his life and inherit the kingdom of God in the end? Can a Christian sow sin and reap eternal life? Okay, popular Christian teachers who say yes to these questions is staggering. Okay, and they're all preaching antinomianism, which came out of John Calvin. So what he's preaching. And the reason they stay confused, is because though obedience can be legalism, it's not necessarily legalism. Obedience can be just as easily the fruit of true faith. The thing that determines what a person's obedience is legalism or fruit that proves you're a Christian is the condition of the heart and what it is they're obeying. Okay, the motives of the heart. Okay, obedience to rituals and traditions and the organized churches or any religious system for that matter, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, does not equal obedience to God. Okay, so that's legalism, and that's performance. That's performance. That's works. That's trying to be saved by works, trying to stay saved by works. But obedience, which comes from as a response to the moving of the work of God's Spirit in a person's life, is fruit. It's the work that proves their faith is genuine. And not only that, the Bible says obedience perfects our faith. So it's all definition of how you define works, you see. If somebody's works are a response from God, their obedience is a response from the Spirit, then they're not trying to earn anything. It's not works. It's not legalism. I don't care what it is. If it's obedience to a set of rules, a regulations, church rules, even New Testament rules, that's not from the Spirit. That's not come from the Spirit. It's legalism. Okay? Yeah, this is a social gospel. So the issue, I'm going to show you a little bit of antinomianism here in one of these Bibles. Schofield, you all know Schofield. Nobody pays any attention to Schofield anymore. But back in the 50s and the 40s, he was the one. It was the Bible. But anyway, I'm going to go through that in a second. But I want... See, the issue here is not what should we do when we become a Christian, but what must we do, okay? Everyone agrees Christians should live like Christians, okay? Nobody says we shouldn't. Everybody says Christians should live like Christians. What if they don't? No one's saying we should continue to practice sin once we're saved, but what if we do? You know, if the profession of faith has produced no change, no change of behavior, no works, will it still keep us in Christ? And again, those who answer yes are many, 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 and they're deceived. They're preaching antinomianism. Now I want to look at how this works out. This Schofield Bible was trying to this in these notes they were trying to point out how the Galatians are going back into legalism. So they're talking about works salvation. Here's what he says in this under the reference this one part in Galatians. He says at the time Paul was writing the Galatian churches were facing a double threat involving purity of doctrine and purity of conduct. Certain individuals had come into the area who would pervert the gospel of Christ. They insisted that while salvation was of Christ, works were also necessary for salvation. To this Judaizing, or i.e. legalistic error, he says, the Galatians were already beginning to yield, thus returning to the bondage of observing days, months, years, times, etc. Okay? That's his understanding of what it means to go back from grace and get back under the law. Okay? He said these people, they're falling from grace. Because they're saying works were also necessary for salvation, and the works were... returning to the bonds of the observing days, months, years, time, etc. Okay? So, now, what can you see the antinomianism there? Can anybody recognize it? The problem with the facing Galatian believers wasn't that the Judaizers were saying that works are necessary for salvation, because works are necessary for salvation. The problem is they were defining works as obedience to the Torah. They are defining works as going back into leading observance of days, months, times, years. Okay, but Schofield and all these scholars assume that anything you do, if you have to do anything, not just going back to the law of Moses, if you have to obey Jesus' teachings in the New Testament, if you have to obey anything, you're doing the same thing as Galatians were doing. Works, they say works, are not necessary for salvation. They teach it, they believe it, they say it explicitly, implicitly, all the time. Now, when you try and corner them and ask them certain questions, they try and maneuver out of it. That's what they're saying. It's by grace and grace alone. And the example this guy was given, Schofield was given, was we're falling from grace. These people are falling from grace because they're going back in the law. Okay, but his theory is, and he would have said that about anybody that says you've got to obey anything. If I met Schofield, Cyrus Schofield right now, and said, Mr. Schofield, Jesus said you must obey his commandments if you love him. You must obey his commandments if you want to stay saved. Because I'm going to go through there's a parable here about the house that falls. The guy that builds on the sand, the guy that builds on the rock, which you all know. So if you don't keep Jesus' commandments, when the storm's coming, and baby, the storm is coming, it's about to be unleashed in this world, your house is going to fall. So if I talk to Schofield, said, look, Jesus said we must obey Jesus' commandments, he'd say that's another gospel, it's a false gospel. Works are not necessary for salvation. You got that? Everybody see what I'm saying? Okay. Purim says, the church world does not have a revelation that God is creating sons like his son. They think they are just going to heaven as they are. That's right. They don't. They don't. I think Grace wanted to talk, but she didn't put her hand up, so she just kind of cut me off. Grace, you want to say something? I'll raise your hand, and I'll let you go. Then that won't cut me off. Oh, where's she at? Grace left. Sorry, Grace. I think Grace wanted to say something, but she forgot to raise her hand and just sort of bumped me off. And then I guess it bumped her off. There she's back in. We lost Grace. There you go, Grace. You're back in. Hey, if you want to say something, Grace, put your hand up there and let me call on you. Because if you just push the button, you'll cut me off. I got to release my button before I can give it to you. Okay? Very cute, Seattle. We lost Grace running the law. Did you want to say something, Grace? Okay, well, that's basically what I had to say anyway. I was almost done anyway. And this thing is still prevalent in the church. It's still causing confusion. It's still... People don't know what the difference between law and grace. They don't know what the difference between the right kind of works that must accompany true faith and the wrong kind of works, which is performance. They think anything, any kind of works is performance, and they jump it all together, and they label it all performance. If anything you're doing, if you're trying to please God by what you're doing, your basis of pleasing God is Jesus is suffering. You'll never be holy. You'll never be righteous. The imputed righteousness is all you can hope for that Jesus gave us. And that's so wrong, because the whole purpose of salvation is to make us holy. You know, God, we get the righteousness of Jesus imputed to our account so God can work with us. The whole purpose of Christianity, of salvation, is to make us change us from the image of Adam, a sinful creature, to the image of Christ. Actually holy, actually righteous, actually worthy. And Calvin says, and most of these people in church say, you'll never be actually what Jesus was. Don't even try to be actually what Jesus was. If you try to be what Jesus was, you're interfering with his righteousness. You're interfering with his work, his imputation, what from his grace to you. You know, they don't understand the basic thing about salvation. Salvation is to make you a new creature. Take the old man and make a new man of it. A man that's holy. A man that's righteous. Not just Jesus. It's Jesus in us. Jesus creates a new man out of us. He's making a new man. He's making a new creation, a new human race that is holy and righteous just as he is holy and righteous. Righteous just as God's righteous. And the gospel that's being preached is absolutely opposed to that. It says you can't do that. That's not true. That's not what Jesus is doing. If you try to do that, you're preaching a false gospel, and you're preaching a gospel of works, salvation, and legalism. It's terrible what people are being taught. You know, they're being taught the exact opposite of what the Bible says. Their gospel is a false gospel. It has nothing to do with what Jesus died for. Jesus died to give us his righteousness, to cover us, to compute to our account, and then to work that righteousness from a legal state that's in heaven into an actual state that's being lived out on earth through our body. That's what it's all about. Anybody's preaching anything else is not the gospel. It's a false gospel. Kim says, Dan, can you talk about what you said on Wednesday about salvation, not replacement? We had a little Bible study, and Kim was with us. I see if I can say it again. I was sort of anointed then. I don't know if I'm anointed to do it now. But we were talking about salvation, and I was just trying to reiterate and make it clear to Kim and other sister, Jen, what salvation is. Because it's being taught that you can't do anything. You'll never be anything but a sinner. You'll never be actually righteous. You'll never be actually holy. You'll never be actually worthy of anything. It's just all Jesus, all the time, ever, forever, and ever. And see, that's the way it is when we first come to the Lord. It's all Him. It's His worthiness, His righteousness. But then as we go through life, His intention, the purpose of salvation, is to make us holy creatures. Make us righteous. Not without Him, but it's us being made holy too. And we are being saved. We are being restored. Something in us. And what the way the gospel they're preaching works out is, we're being replaced. There's nothing but Christ. You know? See, Paul said, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Yet not I, but Christ, yet it's I. You know? So somehow there's an I there that's being saved, that's being redeemed. Okay? There's a new creation there. It's not just Christ all by himself. We're not being replaced with Christ. We're being conformed to Christ, being made the image of Christ, coming forth in the character and nature of Christ. But it's us that's being coming forth in that. And see? So that's something that's not real easy to explain. It's not real easy to understand. Sort of like the incarnation. You know it's true, and you have grip on it generally, but you can't explain the details. That's what's happening. We're not being replaced with Christ. It's Christ in us, working through us. But it's still us he's working through. It's not Christ. See, we're not a bunch of robots, zombies, bodies, just like the body snatchers, like the invasion of body snatchers, you know, where you're gone, and it's just the aliens in there using your body, you know. That's not it. That's a demonic counterfeit of that. That's a demonic view of what, that's the devil's view of what God's doing, really. That's what it is. So he makes movies about it. What God's doing is make us a new creation. Somehow he's making the old, filthy, sinful, worthless thing righteous, holy, worthwhile, by his blood. It's all his work. It's all his doing. We could never do it by ourselves. Okay, but it's us being transformed into a new human race. Okay, that's why he was talking about in Ephesians when he talked about a new man. You notice he never talks about new men, plural. He's talking about a new man. God is making a new human race. That new human race is going to be the body of Jesus. It's going to be exactly like Jesus was. Jesus was the head. That's what there's a scripture in Revelation, I think, or Colossians. So Jesus is the head of creation, the first of God's creation, or something like that. And people have tried to use that to say Jesus was created. You know, just like Satan was created, so was Jesus. He's the first of God's creation, or he's the head of creation. Or well, what that, all that's saying is Jesus is the head of the new man, the new human race, the God-man race. That's what I was saying on Wednesday night, that we're not being replaced by Christ. We're being transformed and infused with Christ. The old man's gone down to death, and somehow some portions of it are being raised into eternal life, and they're eternal, and they're holy, and they're going to be us. That's not the old us. And I've babbled on enough. I don't know if that made any sense to anybody. But it's a new race. We're not going to be made angels. We're not going to be made something that's not recognizable. It's a new human race that's going to be holy and righteous just like Jesus is right. It's the body of the Messiah. Head and body are going to be the same in every degree except that he is the firstborn. And he will always be above us in that sense. He is the Word made flesh. And he will never be that. But everything else, whatever applies to Jesus, applies to the body, except being the firstborn, except him being God in the flesh. Everything else applies to him, applies to us. And we're going to be exactly what he is, if we yield, and if we obey. But see, nobody can possibly get there if they're taught they don't obey anything. Just love. Just give this generic, ubiquitous thing, love. Go out and love. Go out and love everybody and do good to everybody and love and have mercy on everybody and treat everybody wonderful. You just love, 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 and you just do what you feel the Spirit's telling you. And there's no walls, no law, no commandments to give a check and make us sure that what we're doing is right. It's real easy to say I'm walking in the Spirit, you know. But it's another thing to actually be walking in the Spirit and have proof of that by you're doing the things Jesus said and taught, right? So. You all got that. I can see from your comments you're all with me and you already know this. I'm just reiterating it. You know, sometimes you don't think about these things and you come up against somebody that is in this false gospel and says, hey, brother, start quoting all their pet scriptures, all their key scriptures, you know. And all of a sudden your mind goes blank and think, wait a minute, I know that's not true, but I don't have the answer right now. You know, so it's good to keep these things in our mind, keep going over it so it's there, so you have an answer to give to every man. I'm going to put this... If anybody's interested, I'm going to put a copy of this, a PDF version of this thing John Wesley wrote. Yeah, but I'll put it up there so you can read it. Amen. Well, anybody have anything to say? Rebecca said, I also read something today that was written before the 1960s. It sounded like they were describing the mega, give them what they want churches. Oh, really? That's interesting. You have a copy of it. That's fine. Yeah, if you can email it to me, I'd like to read it. Whenever. Sissy says, when you, my newsletter. Well, my newsletter, I got behind my newsletter because I got some things going on at home here. And I'm still working. I'm going to try and have it out by before the end of January. Sorry about that. Becca says, yeah, Jesus Walked a Dusty Road. Yeah, I was singing that one. I think it was our little group. Or was it me? Was I singing alone? Okay, here we go. Grace is going to try it again. Go ahead, Grace.
Oh, hey, you're doing a wonderful job, Dan. Just keep up the good work, because the truth is going to be our shield in this last day. I think it's Psalms 91:4 says his truth is our shield and buckler. And you're doing a good job. Put on the loins of truth and keep going forward. Your program's been a blessing, and I wanted to mention I was able to hear you last week on the two resurrections, and that was wonderful, and I stand behind you 100%. I marvel at the truth that God's given you for these last days. We have Daniel in the Old Covenant, and we have you now here in our present day with the present truth that Daniel was to close the book, and he was going to reveal it in the last days, and God's using you as a part of that. And we praise God for you. Thank you, and God bless you, Dan.
Okay. Well, thanks. Actually, that was Irma. Grace is sitting beside her. But I don't think I'm a modern-day Daniel by any stretch of the imagination. But that's okay. Thanks for the compliment. I appreciate it. I'm glad somebody in that room finally got to talk. Amen. Yeah, that was me singing that song. I was wondering. I was gonna throw out the idea of there's other songs that aren't on that my website. I was wondering if anybody's interested in me teaching you one song a week, like every Saturday, just. Start out by singing a song that I know most of you don't know, and maybe teach it to you. Anybody be interested in that? And if the voice breaks glasses or makes the dogs howl, we'll stop. Anything like that. Or if you're, you know, whatever. I don't want to push my voice. I'm not a good singer, but it's the songs. It's the songs that are, you know, they had a message. End time message, good message. Well, we'll see. I'll see about that. I don't know how they can sing in guitar and into this mic or anything. I have to practice this week. So it's not a big mess up. But I thought I might try that. See, maybe that'll be interesting. Something you can do different. Yeah. How's me playing guitar? I also play harmonica. I can play harmonica and guitar at the same time. But, amen. Anybody else have anything you want to share? Anything on your heart? It's nice to see you again in Seattle, Paul. I haven't seen you in here for a while. How you doing? You got anything you'd like to share? Or add? And I see Brother Jim Jones in here again, and Rich and Judy Kern. Some of the people hadn't come. I didn't know if I scared everybody off last week or not with that two resurrection things. That's fine. No problem, Seattle. That's fine. Anybody, anything good happened this week to anybody? Anything, anybody testimonies?